So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and it's verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. On Thursday night, we began to think about the Lord's Supper. Those of you who were there at the Bible study will remember that we said that we want to begin to prepare for this very special ordinance. This ordinance has become a Cinderella in the church, really, because there are so many who profess Christ who never come to the Lord's table, and that's a tragedy. And so today we want to continue. Obviously, we're receiving the emblems this morning, the bread and the wine. But before we do that, we want to continue to prepare ourselves by thinking about this special ordinance, this climax to true worship. You cannot get any more amazing worship than the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you really want to do that, make sure, please make sure that you are at the Lord's table. One of the reasons I believe why so many of the Lord's children, so many Christians, don't come to the table is because that they have believed myths that surround the ordinance. There are lots and lots of myths, and you can almost see the mothballs around these myths, as it were. You can almost see the dust around these myths because they've been spread and in circulation in the Western Church for so long. And by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want this morning to explode at least one or two of those myths that surround the Lord's Supper. You remember a few months ago that we thought about myths to do with hell. On the Sunday evening we preached about myths that people have, wrong, absurd notions that people have about hell. Well, today it's the Lord's Supper. I don't know, maybe we'll take something else. And something else to do with the church that is covered with myths and man-made traditions. But we leave that to the Lord. By the way, let me just invite you, if you want to get involved in God's work, to prepare the Lord's table. Maybe there's someone in the church today and you're saying, I would love to help out in some practical way in the church. Well, here is one very, very practical way and one very important way that you could help out. Preparing the Lord's Supper. We only have it every 2 months. So it's not that you'd have to be here every Sunday morning early. But maybe the Lord is calling you today. He's saying to you, go and work for me, do something for me. And the best place to start to serve the Lord is in the local church. And the best place that you could start to serve him in the local church is at the Lord's table. And I thank God for those who do very practical work in God's house, the people who prepare the Lord's table. And I thank and I know that many of you have helped in this way in the past. I know of those of you who have prepared the Lord's table down through the years of this church, ever since its opening in 1985. And you were there early on Sunday morning to get the Lord's Supper ready. That's a blessed ministry. So many of these unsung heroes in the church. Last Sunday evening we were in Coleraine with Brother Kenny, and there's a lady there in the church, and because they don't have an organist, she sits at the organ and she presses buttons to bring on the music for the hymn. I mean, she just sits there and all she does in a sense is press the buttons. But that's a blessed ministry. I just sat back and I just said, thank God for people like this. Thank God for the foot soldiers of the Church of Jesus Christ. So if you want to get involved today, you see me afterward. I'm not sure if the pay will be very good, but if you want to get involved in God's work, the Lord himself will reward you and he'll bless you. Well, let's come to the myths that surround the Lord's Supper. One of the greatest myths, I believe, is that when you come to communion, you must remember your sins. Remember your sins. But that's just a myth. Because as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to turn back, open your Bible there to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 once again. I want you to notice verse 24, the end of verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus did not say, this do in remembrance of your sins. Come to communion and wallow in the memory of your sins. He didn't say that. No, when we come to communion, we remember him. He repeats it again. Verse 25. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. As we said to the children earlier, the Lord knows how short our memories are. And how quickly we forget things. And so he repeats this instruction here, this command that we are to remember him. We are to focus on him. The Lord's table reminds us of Christ. Yes, I know if you're a true believer that when you come to communion, the devil will remind you of your sins. He's an expert at that. He'll remind you, those of you who are coming today, he'll remind you of what happened this morning before you came out to church. Did you kick the cat? And you maybe don't even have a cat. Did you lose your temper with your child? Something else happened this morning. And boy, you don't feel very suitable or very worthy to come to communion. I want to tell you today, child of God, you're the very one the Lord Jesus wants at the table today. Because he wants you to remember him, not your sins. Isn't it wonderful that we can just leave the baggage of our past, whether that's the recent past or the long, dim, distant past, at the door of the church on Communion Sunday? And we can come into the Lord's house today and we can sit at the table of the Lord and we can just be engrossed with him. Oh, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He constantly accuses us. But bless God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This do in remembrance of me. Well, you say, well, what about verse 28? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That is before communion. That's before you come to the table. Oh yes, the Bible does, and there it is, black and white, we've read it. Let a man examine himself. We'll come on to that in a moment. What does that mean? But during the supper, during this very special feast, this very special meal, we are to examine him. Not ourselves. When we sit at the Lord's table, when we wait for communion, we are there not for sin examination, not for self-examination. We're there for Jesus' examination. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it paradise, as it were, on earth? Heaven on earth. To be able to think about him. To be able to meditate on him. To be able to sing the hymns, the communion hymns together that direct us and point us to him. To be able to read 1 Corinthians 11 or whatever passage of scripture to focus on the Savior. Isn't it wonderful to be able to do that? We examine Christ. The Lord Jesus says, this is a myth that you're to remember your sins at the table. No, remember me. Consider me, consider Christ, as the book of Hebrews puts it. Aren't you looking forward to doing that today, child of God? You see, remember in the Old Testament, you remember when Israel were in the wilderness. They hadn't entered into the promised land. And you remember the Lord said to Moses, make a tabernacle. Because I want to meet with you, my people. I want to have fellowship. I want, as it were, to have communion with you, my redeemed, blood-bought people. And so the Lord, he gave the exact instructions for the tabernacle. It was nothing to do with Moses. The Lord gave every last detail. That reminds me that in the church today, everything that we do must be according to the Lord's pattern laid down in his word. It's not, you know, for the leaders board of the church to think, well, how can we get more people into the services? It's not about that. We must say as leaders, and indeed everyone in the church, we must say, Lord, how do you want us to worship you? What do you want us to do within the four walls of your house, and indeed outside the four walls? But back to the tabernacle. Whenever an Israelite came to the tabernacle, he had to bring a sacrifice. The lamb or the bullock or whatever, the animal, goat or whatever it was. And when he or she brought the animal, he would bring it to the priest. Now, I want you to think about this question. What did the priest do? I'll tell you what he did. He examined the animal, not the person who brought the animal. That person who brought the animal, just an ordinary 5'8" from the children of Israel, he realized his sinfulness, his lost condition, apart from the shed blood of that animal that was about to be sacrificed. Friends, as we come to the Lord's table today, we're coming, as it were, with the lamb. because God has given us a lamb. And God, and you remember whenever Abraham took Isaac up Mount Moriah, you remember that little Isaac said to his father, we've got the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And can you just remember those beautiful words of Abraham to his son? God will provide himself a lamb. And the Lord has provided a lamb for Abraham and Isaac, for Israel, indeed for the whole world, because John the Baptist cried out on the banks of the Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And we as individuals today, though we feel our wretchedness and our shortcomings, and we realize that we fall so far short of God's perfect standard, yet we can come today with the Lamb, as it were, in the name of Christ, with the merits of Christ. And we're welcome at the table. That's why we have access to this table today. I mean, who did Jesus die for? Good people? Super saints? Super spiritual people? People who have it all together, have worked it all out? Perfect people? I'm afraid not. The Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's lost people, or people who realize or who feel their lost condition. It's people who feel that they're sinners who are welcome to the table. People who realize that they're black as hell itself on the inside. Black as the very pit of hell. So dark with sin. But yet they realize that they have a substitute, a redeemer, who is whiter than the whitest white. That's how we come today to the Lord's table, back to the Old Testament priest. Whenever the Israelite brought the animal, the priest didn't examine the person. Oh, now, what kind of a life did you live this week? See, before you came to the tabernacle today, were you perfect? I don't read of anything, any such absurd statement in the Bible. No, the priest, there was only one thing that he was concerned with, the animal. And he inspected the animal, he examined the animal for lameness, for cuts, and for tears, to see if the animal was perfect in the outward sense. Without blemish, without spot. And as soon as the priest realized that was the case, he said, "You're accepted. Not because of who you are, but because of the animal you've brought. You've got a substitute, a perfect substitute. Come. Your animal is acceptable. Your sins are forgiven." An Old Testament object lesson of the way of salvation, and of the way that's opened up for us to come to this beautiful ordinance that Christ himself has instituted. Now, during communion, as we have said, we examine Christ. We don't examine ourselves. We remember him. We don't remember our sins. I mean, why should we remember our sins when Christ has forgotten them? You answer that question? Why should I sit at the Lord's table, or you sit at the Lord's table, and mull over our sins and our failures? Why should we do that? The Lord's not doing that. Jesus is not doing that. He has forgiven our sins. Our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more," the book of Hebrews says. So why is it that we remember what he has forgotten? But let me get back to before the Lord's Supper, before we take the bread and the wine. We are to examine ourselves. Let me read it again, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What does it mean to examine yourself? Well, I want to tell you today what it is not. Examining yourself is not saying, am I good enough to come to communion? What an absurd question. Am I good enough to come to communion? Am I good enough to take communion? That's like saying, am I good enough to hear the gospel? The reality is that none of us are good enough to take communion. Let me tell you, dear friends, there's only one person in the universe who's good enough to take communion. That's the Lord Jesus himself. But it's not about being good enough to take it. So what does it mean to examine ourselves? It's to do with our attitude. Okay? I want you to get that. If we come to communion with an attitude that says, Lord, thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other people are. I have it all together, Lord. I've had a good week, Lord, so surely if anybody can come to communion, I can come. Can't you just smell the old stinking savour of pride? God forbid that anybody should come to the table in this church today with an attitude like that. Because if you do, dear friend, you'd be far better staying away. No, the attitude the Lord is looking for and what he tells us to examine ourselves, to look for this attitude, the attitude is, Lord, I am not good enough to be at your table. I am a broken, fallen creature of the dust who deserves hell. And Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Some people say, whenever Paul said, examine yourselves, that means you've got to look in your own life to see if there's any sin there. If there's any sin. I mean, come on now. Does not the Bible tell us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, we make him a liar. So, I mean, go right ahead if you want to examine yourself and, you know, get the magnifying glass, the spiritual magnifying glass out and look in your own life. I wonder, would I have one tiny little sin lurking in there somewhere? Go on ahead, dear friend. But let me tell you about some of the men in the Bible who did that. You see, there was a man called Moses. We've spoken about him already. And whenever he examined his own heart and whenever the Lord revealed his own heart to him, he said, Lord, don't show me my wretchedness. I don't want to see it again. And there was a man called Peter, and he was out fishing with Jesus one day in the boat. And he got a glimpse of his own heart and he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Then there was Paul the Apostle. And boy, when he examined his own heart and life, do you know what he said? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's all about your attitude as you come to the table today. If you feel, if you believe that you are good enough, that you're worthy to be at the table today, please stay away. But if you feel that you're not good enough, that you're unworthy, child of God, come to the table today. Please, please come. Because this man, Jesus, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Let's pray. We are so grieved, Lord, at the myths that surround your supper, because it is yours, Lord, it's not our supper. And we're so grieved for the many Christians down through the years who felt that they were not worthy to be at the table, and Lord, therefore they stayed away. But we rejoice today, O Lord, that the Lamb makes us worthy, because worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And so, dear Lord, may we indeed examine ourselves today for the old foul enemy of pride that would lurk within us. Oh, for a humble spirit. Oh, for the spirit of the old publican who cried out as he smote his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Bless us, O Lord, as we further worship thee in song. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.